Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
So this morning, our testimony month, right? And tonight we've got three young people that, if you can come tonight, come tonight. It's going to be awesome. But this morning, we've got the Apostle Paul. Yeah. Sharing his testimony. I call him the Apostle Paul, but he likes to be called Pastor Paul. Good to see you, man. I'm glad you wore the right colour this morning. It's like
you forgot the black pants.
You're the only one that's in the spirit. Anyone else wearing green? Oh yeah, there's a few there. Good on you, in the spirit. Because the Holy Spirit always gives you the colour, you know. It's just gonna happen. So, Paul, it's going to be great to hear your testimony, because I know a little bit about it, but everyone's going to be so blessed this morning. So, tell us a bit of your background, where you were born.
Well, I was born in Malaysia, so that's where I was born, and then I came here when I was 19 to Sydney to continue my university studies, and probably later on I continued, and then I went back, once I completed it, went back to Malaysia. And then was involved in ministry in Malaysia. And
you don't get too far ahead of yourself, mate. Just okay. All right. I've got to ask that question later.
All right, yeah.
Stealing my thunder.
Okay, yeah.
Now listen, you said you were 19 when you came here. Mm. I know that your dad passed away early. When did your dad pass away?
It was 19.
When you were 19?
Yeah.
How old was your dad?
44.
Wow. Yeah. And so your mum has brought you up? Well, it has to be your mum. Who else would it be, right?
So he passed away.
What, 19? So it's still young, 19. Hey, I'm Greek. 19 is way young. Like, we don't leave home till we're 35. But, and so how many brothers and sisters have you got?
So two brothers and a sister.
Two brothers and a sister?
Yeah.
So it's four all up?
Four all of us, yeah.
And your mum's a trooper. I've met your mum.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about your mum.
So she was, my mum and the whole family Hindus, you know, they were Hindus. And I remember my mum, my grandfather became mentally unwell and he took my mother and he took off in Malaysia, you know, and then started begging streets of Malaysia. Wow. That's what my mum, and I think she was just about 6 years old when that happened. And he was mentally unwell. He didn't know where he was. She's on the streets in Malaysia begging. And then my grandmother, who was a Hindu, like she was a staunch Hindu, like, you know, she would pray in the morning, do everything in the morning and make sure, you know. And back then in Malaysia, the Christians were the lower caste of the society. So then, you know, because a lot of them got saved, there's a caste system, you know, back in Malaysia. And she won't even give a glass of water to any Christians.
Wow.
You know, like they're supposed to be outside and not come inside. And then one day my grandmother, you know, said, God, if there is, you know, her daughter's gone, you know, husband's gone. And she said, if there is a God, I want to know that God. And was her prayer. And I'll tell a little bit of that. And what happened was that, and while she was awake in the morning, there was a light in the room, and the light, and she heard this, I'm the way, truth, and life. That's all she heard. She didn't hear anything else. All she saw was a light in the room, and she heard, I'm the way, truth, and life. And then in the afternoon, a lady comes by sharing the gospel. All right, so she comes by, and she opens the Bible, and the verse that she goes to exactly was, I'm the way, truth, and life. And that is how my grandmother became a Christian. And then she started praying, and they found my grandfather and my mother, and they came back home, and the whole family, they're all Christians now, and that's how. So every one of my grandmother's family, they're all Hindus still. You know, in India, they back from, because the British brought them over to Malaysia, but they didn't do. But my grandmother saw that light and heard that word, and she had the same word. Someone opened the Bible and speak, and that's how she got saved. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, God just waits for somebody that's got a hope a heart that's open, and he'll make sure they get saved, even if he has to do it himself.
That's right.
It's pretty awesome, eh? But we're co-laborers, so we'll help him out a bit when we can. So when did you get, you personally, when did you kind of get that revelation of who Christ was in your life?
See, being born in a Christian family, my mother was a very staunch Christian. Like she would get up at 5 a.m. and make us pray. I was 6 years old. I can still remember 6 years old praying at 5 a.m.
Woo!
And she would wake us up every Saturday. We would fast. At 6 years old, I was fasting already for the whole day. Tell you what, I was so hungry and thirsty. I would go to the bathroom and open the tap and just drink water. You know, at least my stomach would be full. And then in the evening we would break. And so that's how I grew up. So my mother, so always in church, in Pentecostal church, you know, playing music, doing everything. But it was 19 years old that I walked into Petersham. It was to be Petersham that I actually got saved. there you go. I walked into the church, and I knew there was a heaven and there's a hell. It was just, it was like the living God's presence was in that place. And the reality of it just sank into me. All the way along, it was the motion. Do you know what I mean? Like you could go on and do things in the motion. But when I walked into that place and I said, God, I need salvation. And I can remember on that day I gave my life. But after that, everything that I did was so different to what I did prior to that. Do you know what I mean? Like you can go in the motion, you can do everything. But after that, my life just totally changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Personal, see?
Yeah.
It's different. It's not the faith of your parents.
That's right. Yeah.
It's your revelation. Yeah. And I think that's what we pray for all our kids, that they get their own personal revelation. Because we were pretty hard with our kids too. I made our kids come. I didn't care Sunday mornings until they were 18. You're coming to church, mate. That's it. And sometimes we had to bring them dragging and screaming. And sometimes when they were in their teenagers coming with miniskirts on, and, man, you're not coming to church with that. But they did anyway. Hey, they're saved now, so it's all good. So now it's funny because we, Joe, myself, a few others, we all got saved at Petersham, and Petersham had this, I think what we've got here at Altar, it reminds me a lot, especially with some of the YAs and the night meeting and this meeting, that the same spirits and Holy Spirit's the same. And I just know that we've had so many testimonies of people. This is why we got the testimony month, because so many people have come in, walked in that door and experienced the same thing. And you might be here this morning. You're here for the first time and you're experiencing the same thing. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you, touching your life and giving you a revelation. I'm real. I'm here to, you know, make way and give you peace and joy. It's pretty awesome. And so, and then you got the call to be a missionary.
You can say it's a missionary. It's a, Ben, is he among the Indians?
He downplays it, eh? Like, I give him this big opening to come out and yeah, okay, go on. But anyway.
Whatever. You know, among the Indians, you know, they always want a male. You know, they want as many boys in the family and not females. So my mother's family, there were three girls and a boy. So my mother always prayed, I want a boy, I want a boy, and I want a boy. And then the first one was a girl, and they were disappointed with the first one, you know. Listen, I've got two girls, they're the best. Right? I'm biased. And then she said, and then they started praying, God, give me a boy, and I will name him Paul. And that's how I got the name Paul, and I will name him Paul, and I will send him off to be serve you. And that was her prayer, and I was born.
Wow.
All right, so that was then. But then I grew up seeing a lot of pastors in Malaysia were poor. Like, you know what I mean? They live very poor. They don't have a lot of income. And I was very discouraged about that. And I said, you know, so I finished my accounting degree. I knew God called me. And then I had a vision. You know, this was at church camp via Petersham. I saw church benches. You know, back then, those old benches. And I saw people sitting on church benches, which is sleeping into hell. Wow. You know, it doesn't mean coming to church you're saved. You know, do you know what I mean? It's just you can be here for years and years and not be saved. So I saw church benches, and I knew that I really cried, and I said, God, how can these people just sit in church and not know you and lost eternity? You know, and I remember that crying. But still this desire of not wanting to serve God, you know, didn't like the money that was poor. So I...
Show me the dollars.
Yeah. So I finished my accounting degree. I went back to Malaysia. And then I was working in a big accounting firm, lining up to become, you know, a partner at the end of the day. I was an auditor. I was working in an auditor. I remember one Saturday morning, and I clearly heard this voice of God. And God said like this, you know, I said, I will earn as much money and I give it to the church. I don't want to serve you. You know, I'll do everything else, but I'll earn as much and I'll give you. That's still, you know, doing something. I clearly heard the voice of God, and God said, one day you're going to come and see me. And if I ask you, why didn't you serve me, what will you say? And I just could not get an answer. Could I have said that I wanted to work and give money and do this and do that and do this? I just could not do anything. And I put my resignation in on that week. Just finished university, landed in Malaysia a couple of months, working as an auditor, working my way up, didn't have money to do anything. And I said, God, you now open the door and you show me where to go. So I ended up in JB, Malaysia, down south, where my uncle, he's got a church down there. And I wanted to go to Bible school, but then I had no money. So, and then I said, God, if it is your will and I've done this, you open door. And then I went to the Bible school and I said, I want to study in Singapore, you know, a theology degree. And he's, can you, you know, I don't have money though. And then they said, okay, there's someone in the church. I want you to go and see this person. So I did, okay, I'll go and see. And then I went to see this person and they said, what do you want to do? I said, oh, I told them all of these things. And I said, I want to study in the Bible school. And they said, okay, go back. So I went back and then I got the phone call the next day. And they said, okay, Paul, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pay for all your fees. We're going to give you a place to stay in Singapore. And we're going to give you a monthly allowance until you finish the course.
Wow.
And that's equivalent, today's equivalent is about Australian $50,000, all right?
Don't worry about the money. Go to supply.
And now I'm thinking, I'll probably be bound for life to be serving in their church. Yeah. You know how you get this thing, you know? They sign you off for 40 years to serve there, something like that. And then I asked, what do you want in return from me? And you know what they said? They said, we don't want anything from you, Paul. Just go and serve wherever God takes you. And that was what it was. And I knew it was God opening doors and leading and going. And I finished my Bible school there, and I was serving in Malaysia. So I was born in Malaysia, came to Australia, got my permanent residency. Now I went back to Malaysia as a missionary there, and then I was serving for there, you know, pastoring a church. And you know what? I had the lowest pay. If I can tell you how much I was paid, Australian $250 a month I was getting. Okay. But I tell you what, you
serves you right.
You give me the same thing all over again, and I will do it again. I had so much joy doing that for those 6 years. I will do it again and again and again if it comes up again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I ended up as a missionary back then.
So how long were you a missionary there for?
So I was there for about 6 years.
6 years. And so you were in charge of some of those outreach churches that we minister to?
Yeah, so they have about 7 outreaches. On a weekend, I would preach about 10 sermons. That's my weekend. Sussie will not see me on a Saturday and a Sunday. It was sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. It was 10. I would go to 10 different churches.
So is your wife here this morning?
No, she's working. She works in the hospital. She's
I was going to give her a rap because, you know, you met her while you were in ministry, right?
Yeah. So she was one of the congregation sitting down. Then I looked at her and I said, she's a beautiful girl. You know?
See what I mean? Hey, when you put God first, He gave you the money that you didn't want to give up, and then He gave you a wife as well to top it off.
Yes, that's right.
So in the ministry, you just go for God, and God will add to you those that you're missing. Don't worry. Don't go looking. I mean, he did look, but he was already he's already ministering when he looked, right? So
and there was this power play, you know. You go to Malaysia, and you a pastor, they put you up on a pedestal, and you kind of go, oh, I like it. It was a hard kind of a gig, but then... Hey, we've been married for 23 years.
You know? Yeah, that's pretty good. And you got 3 amazing kids.
Yeah, and I think she loves me still, so...
Yeah, I have to ask her. Did you make the right decision? It's funny because Paul's, you know, God's ministering the poor and giving him these you know, churches to look after. And God's doing a number on Denise and myself to pioneer church with Pastor Tom out here. And we weren't to know that Paul's in the missionary field. We are beginning a church. And then when he gets back, we connect. And some of the churches and some of the missions work has come directly out of where Paul was. So we've built three churches in the previous one, under the previous name of the church, which is we're still one church, right? So we built three churches in India.
Four churches in India.
We've done one in Batam, which the missions trip coming up on Friday that we're going to pray for in a second. We're going to Batam. We built that church in Batam, and we ministered to the church in Jakarta, and we've been to JB as well. So it's pretty amazing, you know, what God has done for your life. But not only, you know, it's amazing how, like that verse of Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When he came back off his missionary trip and he's back in Oz, I remember when we lived at Guildford, he came and I said, come to our church because we love people. No other church does. So I remember when he comes back, this is Paul, and this is how he thinks. He's come back off the mission. I said, what are you going to do? He says, hey, I'm going to start a freight business. I go, oh, I'm in logistics, right? I wasn't working for the church then. I'm in logistics. I said, mate, you know, a freight business. You know how hard it is to do a freight business? You've got Star Trek, IPAC, TNT. I said, where are you going to compete with all these guys? And he did. And it took off, right?
It did take off, yeah.
No. And then he sold the business. And then just tell them what you've done, Paul, like since coming. Tell us all the different businesses you've started and all the things that you've gotten into. And then tell us how much money you make.
Freight business. We got into the freight, and then we opened a college which is still running, international student and things like that. And then I go on a side venture, and I'm studying. I studied nursing, and then, you know, working in the nursing as one of the managers in one of the departments. And then I'm back to uni again. Now I'm studying to become a practitioner, and so it just keeps going. You know, I think wherever God leads you, do you know what I mean? Like wherever God opens doors, wherever God leads you. You know what? I come to this understanding. Think about this. You know, back then I wanted all the money, you know, all the houses, all the cars, and everything like that. When you read the Bible, God reveals, God keeps on revealing, you know, and then you go off track, it brings you on back. You go off track. I tell you what, we die. Our life on this earth is so short. Mm. You can have $200 million. When we die, we take absolutely nothing with us. We can have the biggest mansion. We don't take anything with us.
Yeah.
Our life, it's a journey on this earth, and we're servants that God entrusts, you know, gives to us, that we need to be faithful in what it is. And I've come to a realization from a man who wanted to be in accounting, be a partner, earn a lot of money, and have all this. Well, I've come to a point that, you know what, I'm not even interested in money anymore. Why? Because I know God will look after me. You can have millions of dollars. I can guarantee you today, your millions is not going to look after you. It is God who looks after you.
And yeah, so good.
Do you know what I mean? So sometimes we get off track and we go into those things. And this is why it's so important to be reading the Word, be in the presence of God, because that's when the Spirit of God realigns. The Spirit of God realigns. If I leave today, I leave everything behind. Do you know what I mean? Then position, power, money, everything. Mm. What we do for God will last forever.
Yeah, that's excellent, Paul.
And all of you have got a gift that God's given you, you know, and God will bring you through.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, let's give it up for the Apostle Paul. Thanks, buddy. If you're here for the first time and you're going, you know what, I want what Pastor Paul's had. I want that kind of lifestyle. I want that adventure. You know, and there's an opportunity. We're going to say together Lord's Prayer. And if you feel like, you know what, yeah, I want to receive Christ, I want you to say the Lord's Prayer with us. Mean it with your heart, and then we'll show you the next steps. So why don't we just close our eyes and finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Thanks, guys.